Free Talk Live. Welcome to a special episode here that we are pre-recording, which is unusual. We don't usually do that. Free Talk Live is sort of supposed to be a live show. We take your calls. It's open phones. But right now, at least, that's not going to be the case.
We'll be live later, though. Presumably.
I think we should be live later. I think that's kind of the plan here tonight. The reason we're doing this is... Well, where do we start?
Well, let's start with the story of Grafton County.
Yeah, Grafton County, New Hampshire.
And the chair, the newly elected chair of the Grafton County Republican Committee, being ousted because he's a supporter of mine and a friend of mine. So they actually redid the election after they found this out.
So the reason they would do that is because you ran for sheriff a few months ago in 2020.
You didn't say her name.
Aria DiMezzo.
Oh, yes.
It's Ian and Bonnie and Aria. Sorry about that. Things are usually different when we record the show. So anyway, you ran for sheriff as a Republican.
Yes.
Now, for listeners who are brand new to the show, you are also a trans Satanist anarchist.
Correct.
And that was all very public during this campaign and resulted in a tremendous amount of publicity, some of which was actually brought on by the Republican Party itself and how they responded to your campaign.
Yeah, they didn't do themselves any favors here. I think the only thing about it that really bothers me, though, was that accusation that, you know, I gaslit the Republicans. I was like, how? I was 100% up front from the start. I can't help it that you guys didn't bother to look for that. I was broadcasting it to anyone who would look that I'm a trans Satanist anarchist.
Now, they did run somebody against you, but as a write-in campaign. The normal sheriff candidate, his name is Earl Nelson. He's been running for most of the last decade against the guy who's beaten him for every single time he's tried. And I guess Earl was sick, supposedly, earlier this year, and that's why he says he didn't file for office. So you took the opportunity and filed, and so you had no opponent in the primary officially. There was no, there was no one else on the ballot, though there were a number of people who did write him in, and that wasn't enough.
No,
they did not defeat you.
So yes, I ended up winning the primary, and they got very upset about that. But there was nothing they could do about it.
No, except for get behind this guy's write-in campaign, which ultimately did not succeed. It didn't defeat you in the general election, but you weren't also able to defeat the Democrat, the incumbent. And so I guess they've apparently still been talking about you constantly ever since the election. This is according to one state rep who I will not name that I encountered this week, who says that they are just obsessed with you. And so that's when we find out.
I love living in their heads rent-free, dude.
Yeah. That's when we find out that
all I had to do in order to accomplish this was sign a few pieces of paper and pay $10.
Gaslighting.
It was only $10, huh?
Yep.
Wow, what a deal.
And yeah, right. Look at the chaos that it has sown. I love everything about it.
I love the publicity, too, for the ideas of freedom that you were able to get because of this campaign. There were
Agreed.
A ton of interviews that you did. And, you know, that was good because you actually ended up breaking into kind of the left-wing podcast scene with a variety of your appearances. I mean, just from a publicity aspect, it was an incredible success, the campaign. And they are still just wringing their hands about it. Apparently, they, as you mentioned at the very beginning of this discussion, they unelected a duly elected chairman of the Grafton County Republican Party.
Yeah, and I can't imagine that they actually have the authority to do this. I mean, as we're experiencing right now, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter what your bylaws. Yeah. It doesn't matter what your bylaws say or what systems you have in place. If they want to do something, they're just going to do it.
Yeah, and so they undid this guy's election, and I guess he's still like a delegate or something, but he's not the actual chairman anymore. And then all of a sudden last week, we all got an email, those of us who are registered Republicans in the Keene, New Hampshire area where we live, got an email saying that there was going to be a special election for the Keene Republican Committee.
Yes, and, the board members.
Yeah, the executive committee. And so, I mean, I don't want to get too off into the weeds with what happened here or what is allegedly going on. But ultimately, there's a difference between the Keene Republican Committee's bylaws and what the state bylaws say about when these elections should happen. We thought we were following, and I say we because I'm the vice chairman of that group, and another friend of the show, Bob Call, is the chairman. And So we thought that these elections were supposed to be in the off years. So in New Hampshire, there's state elections every 2 years. So 2020, 2022, 2024. So we thought the elections were, supposed to be in the election years. So we held one in 2020, expecting the next one would be in 2022. Well, now they're saying, no, no, the next one's supposed to be right now. And since you didn't call for it, the county chair is going to call for one of these special elections. And it doesn't matter all the things that I pointed out about how, well, look, you know, we're duly elected. We thought we were following the right rules.
But you were following the right rules.
Well, the rules we were following were given to us by the state party.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we didn't write those bylaws. Right. We amended them a little bit, but they were given to us, I think, by the secretary.
The secretary of the state party.
Yeah.
So we were following these bylaws that they provided to us. And now they're saying, oh, no, no, no. No, we're just going to go ahead and call a special election, and I just feel like that this is targeting us. I think they're trying to get rid of ARIA supporters. I think that's what this is.
And I tend to agree. I don't want it to be that, but based on their behavior and how not hostile, but how unfriendly they have been towards you in their emails, that seems to be the case.
Yeah, I use the term "not in good faith" to describe what happened here. Because the guy who's in charge of the county party here in Cheshire County, he makes it sound like he's just following the bylaws, like, oh, well, you didn't call for this election like you're supposed to, and so therefore he's calling for the election as though there's nothing more to it than that. But when I asked him the question of, well, why wouldn't you have just contacted us?
He had all of January. It was just because you didn't do it in January.
That's what he says.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. He had all of January and never said anything to you.
Well, and he could have contacted us on February 1st or immediately after January was over and said, hey, you know, you guys are supposed to have an election here. And we would have said, what are you talking about? That's not what our bylaws say. And then he would say, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. So what are we going to do? And we could have solved the problem right then.
We could have. I mean, and there's still 3 weeks or so left in February for us to have solved the problem.
But no, he's just going right straight ahead, has no excuse, no reason. When I've asked him, you know, point blank, you know, why didn't you just contact us? Well, it seems pretty clear to me why, because this is not in good faith what they're doing here. They're trying to run us out. And ultimately, it seems silly to take time off from doing the show live for this because I'm sure this is, I don't think we're going to have success tonight.
But it's
going
to be good.
But it's going to be worth it because not from a political aspect or that, you know, it matters in any way, shape or form to save this dying party. And, you know, who cares about what happens to the Republican Party?
Do we have time left in this segment to get into the plans?
I think we do.
Yeah. Okay. So the plan is to nominate me for chair and Ian for vice chair. He's currently vice chair, so his position would stay the same. Mm. But the more important part of this to me is the fact that Marilyn Hudson, who is something in the Cheshire County Republican
Committee. She used to be the chairman of the county.
Okay. She was when I ran for sheriff, at the very least. She routinely and repeatedly in media referred to me as he. So as I was driving to the store last night thinking
about
ideas.
And she's like 80.
Right.
Like she's an old lady.
And it's not just her. Every time the Republicans met, they had a 30-minute discussion about what to call me. Mm-hmm. So if they're all going to consider me a he, then I'm going to appear topless.
Aren't they law and order? Shouldn't they obey the law that you're a female?
Which law?
Just like the government sees you as female, they're law and order. They should.
I don't know. Does the government
respect
see you as female?
That. Oh, right.
Did you get the gender change on your... What happened with your driver's license? Didn't you do that?
I'm waiting on crap. You know how it is with the DMV with Keen.
Yeah,
the first time you go there, you always have to go back. But yeah, so if they consider me a male, so I'm going to appear topless. And there's that should be totally ordinary to them, right? Because you see topless men all the time.
And you're in your home.
Exactly.
When going to be?
When they give me crap about it, my response is going to be, well, you chose to do this meeting online in my house. And when I'm at home, I'm frequently topless. Maybe you should have picked a venue where I'm not frequently topless.
Right. We're going to continue here. This is the reason we're taking at least part of the show off, the beginning part of the show. Maybe we're going to do like half the show recorded and then half live. I don't think we've really decided how to handle this yet. But as the night goes on, we will. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, and normally you could call in to join us here. Maybe you'll be able to do that a little bit later on tonight. We're doing a special episode with you in the studio tonight. You've got Ian,
Bonnie,
and Arya.
And don't forget, you can join us online anytime you want. Head over to freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features you'll find there. And also want to say thanks to Bitcoin.com. It is, boy, it's been a wild ride for Bitcoin earlier this week. And
eyeing that 50,000 mark.
Man, by the time this is a recorded show, so by the time you're hearing this, it might be over 50,000. But as of Monday and Tuesday this week, it cracked over $48,000 in a new all-time high, which is up like $10,000 from where it was just a few days ago. So it's been an incredible ride. If you want to go to Bitcoin.com and learn the basics, you can click Get Started right at the top of the page. And that's where there's some, you know, intro videos that keep it simple, 2 or 3 minutes long. Just, you know, sit down for 10 minutes and you'll get the basics on what is special about Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash as well. So head over to Bitcoin.com to do that. They also have a great news site where you can get the latest headlines about what's going on in the world of cryptocurrency. Just go to news.bitcoin.com to do that. That's news.bitcoin.com. So we're talking about this bad faith Republican Party skullduggery going on here in Cheshire County, New Hampshire, which I fully expect that by the end of the show tonight, the Arya supporters will have been ousted. I was told yesterday that they already have 15 RSVPs for this meeting.
Well, three of those were us, at least, because I got one, you got one, and Chris got one.
Yeah, but by the time she told me that, this is according to the party secretary, she had told me that she hadn't counted all of them yet. So anyway, it sounds like it's going to be, they're going to turn out as many people as they possibly can.
This is what they did when I ran for secretary as well.
Yes.
Yeah,
of
the Keene Republican Committee. They turned out 15 to 20 people who literally left immediately after the vote, didn't stay around for the meeting. They
That's
were
right.
just there to vote
you.
Against me.
And they don't know you're going to be nominated for chair.
No, they don't, but they should expect it from us.
They should at this point. I've been playing pretty nice with the Republican Party here in town.
I wanted to. They just didn't want to play nice with me.
That's right. Yeah, you never did anything to them except point out how you're actually probably more, you know, in a lot of ways, freedom-friendly than these supposedly small government Republicans. And maybe
it was that remark
them.
that got everyone so upset with Mikey was him asserting that I'm probably more of a constitutionalist than any of the others.
This is the guy who was
the former chair of the Grafton Republican Committee.
Right. So that's what this is. That's what's going on here tonight. We will update you as, you know, we decide to take over and be live again here in a little bit. We're probably in the studio right now. We're just in the middle of whatever meeting shenanigans is going on. But as you said, you're going to appear topless.
Yes.
At this meeting. Now, of course, we're not running the meeting. So in theory, they could try to censor you or something like that.
This is why I want another male to appear topless. Like, and I'm sure someone will. Someone like Rich Paul or someone will be bored enough to be like, yeah, I'll do it.
Okay.
Because in that case, are they going to single me out or are they going to call attention to both of us?
Good question. Really put them on the spot.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the goal here, is to troll them as much as possible on the way out the door.
Right.
And they're just giving us one golden opportunity after the other.
Aren't we doing another trolley thing?
I don't know. Are we?
Aren't we going to mispronounce
them? Oh, yes, we are. Thank you. I'd already forgotten.
I'm excited for that part.
Yeah, what is this? What's this part?
We're going to intentionally misgender all of the people who aren't part of the Keene Libertarian group, like Marilyn Hudson, and I think the guy's name is John, and you know, just all the others. We're going to call John her, she regularly, and Marilyn he, him regularly, and we're just going to, you know, wait and see what they do.
It's going to be entertaining.
It is, and it will be recorded.
And you're going to record it, so everybody out there who's feeling left out, don't worry. We expect to have this up on whatever video streaming platforms that we can.
YouTube, we can put it on Free Keene
Library.
If you want.
Yeah.
I signed up to vote as a Republican for this.
That's right. And that's really awesome. So
felt dirty.
We'll keep you. It is. It does. It really does feel dirty to join the Republicans or the Democrats. It's just, unfortunately, in New Hampshire, there is no Libertarian Party officially that you can join. There is a Libertarian Party, but they're not ballot qualified. So, you know, they're just as unqualified as every other third party out there. There's no benefit whatsoever to joining the Libertarian Party, with the exception of the fact that there are some other libertarians out there. That's it.
Yeah, and if you want to run for office doing that, you have to go out and collect signatures and all of this other stuff.
And that's hard as it is normally. That's like any other time besides COVID time. It's hard to collect signatures. Now it's really hard.
And it's snowing.
Well, yes, now it is. But, I mean, you can collect signatures later in the year. But, you know, you've got people who are now afraid to actually come near you who otherwise might have, you know, given you a signature previously. So now it's – they actually had to lower the signature requirements.
They should have just eliminated them.
They really should have. Some states did, but not New Hampshire. So
New Hampshire reduced it to what, like 3,500 or something?
I think it only reduced it by a third.
So not effectively useless.
Yeah, not a big reduction at all.
In a society where people are afraid to reuse the same pin that someone else touched.
It's so insane. And you know, to his credit, Daryl Perry did get qualified for the ballot last year in 2020 as the gubernatorial candidate for the Libertarians. So, you know, it can be done. It's just I got so much more to do with my time than go out and collect signatures. It is a slow, arduous process to go out and collect signatures. Have you ever done it before?
I have not.
No?
Neither have I.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it's much fun, though.
No.
I mean, you got to get someone to stop and listen to you, first of all.
That's hard enough.
And they have to be willing to actually put their name on this thing, and they may not be. Right. And they have to actually agree that you should be allowed to run for office under whatever party label you choose.
And they have to be from New Hampshire.
They have to be from New Hampshire?
Yeah, they have to be, I mean,
ideally. They have to be at least like residents of New Hampshire.
Yeah. Well, they have to be a registered voter specifically from New Hampshire. So if you're,
and that's difficult when we're right on the edge between Massachusetts and Vermont.
You cannot stand on Main Street in Keene and actually get signatures because half the people there are shopping from Vermont or from Massachusetts. So it's a waste of time in a lot of areas. You pretty much have to stand outside of the best place to get signatures in a place like New Hampshire is if you stand outside of like the city clerk's office. Or like the tax office.
That makes sense.
Because then you know everybody coming in there is going to pay taxes, which means they probably live here. But besides that, the only other place you could do it easily is outside of the election location. You could try it there, like at the election that they have. Like they have these little town elections or whatever early in the year. You could do that. But boy, besides those two places, I mean, there's so
It doesn't sound much fun when you can just sign a sheet of paper and be done with it.
Yeah. And one of the perks in New Hampshire is if you run as a Republican in the and if you win the Republican primary, which you did, Arya, in 2020, along with my roommate and Bob Call, who we mentioned earlier, another supporter of yours, then you get added to the what they call the delegate list for the Republican Party state convention. And that allows you to go in and do things like vote on the platform.
And that's what last night. I was like, how can I troll these people as much as possible? I was like, well, I can go topless, but they'd probably actually ask me to leave if I did that at a physical location.
At the convention,
yes. So I was like, but there's a meeting Wednesday.
That's right.
I can do it there.
So we'll keep you in the loop as this develops. Coming up, we do have things to talk about here tonight, including Cuba, where there have been some interesting developments happening in Cuba ever since the death of Fidel Castro, ever since he's been out of office. And there's another important big step going in towards the direction of more freedom to be in business in Cuba. We'll tell you about that coming up here. And later on, you might be able to join us. It's Free Talk Live.
Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. Go there now, click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you'll find a cornucopia of information, neatly organized for your needs. If you're a knowledgeable crypto user, check out news.bitcoin.com where you can get the latest headlines. Bitcoin.com is your source for buying cryptocurrency, getting a wallet app, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news, all on a slick and easy-to-use website, all put together by the best minds in the business to teach you about cryptocurrency. Bitcoin.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and we are here on a special, what's called a mixed episode of Free Talk Live, where later we're going to be live, and we will have open phones, and you will be able to call in about anything you want, as we explained that, the reason earlier in the show tonight. But there's stuff in the news to talk about here. Do want to invite you to freetalklive.com. Check out our social website that we launched at social.freetalklive.com to compete with Facebook and big tech. If you're not on there yet, please drop in. See what you think of it. I think it's pretty slick. It's a pretty nice looking site. Aria, you've been using it?
Off and on.
Okay. Are you still on Twitter still?
I am still on Twitter because I've got like 2,000 and something followers there, and I don't just want to.
Did you set up the IFTTT yet?
I have not. Okay, it is on my list of things to do.
Understood.
What's the IFTTT?
If this, then that is what it stands for. It's a website that it was free for many years. They now have a paid tier finally because they got to make money somehow. But what they do is they allow you to connect your social media to sort of triggers. So if when I post to social.freetalklive.com, IFTTT allows me to automatically cross-post from one to the next. So I only have to post to one place, and then it goes to my other social medias after that. So it's pretty nice. It automates the process, so I don't have to go on social.freetalklive.com, then go to Twitter, then go to whatever other sites I might be on. I can just do it all in one place. So it makes it automated, which is pretty sweet. So the story I said we were going to get into here is out of Cuba, Havana, CNN reporting, Cuba took a long-awaited and likely irreversible step toward massively expanding the island's private sector over the weekend. On Saturday, Cuba's communist-run government announced that Cubans will soon be able to seek employment or start businesses in most fields of work.
Wow.
They couldn't before?
No, it was a communist country. So before, you would have to like have the government tell you where you could work. And you'd be able to work for the government in whatever governmental industries were allowed to exist.
That sounds like The Giver.
So they're What's opening that? Up competition. Go ahead.
What's The Giver?
Oh, that's a utopian book about, well, when you're like, you turn 12, you get assigned a job.
Mm-hmm. Just like that. You were saying about utopia?
I don't recall what I was saying.
Okay.
Because now I'm thinking about The Giver, because I remember reading that when I was in like the sixth grade, and I don't really remember much about it. I do remember it gave me chills because it was very dystopian.
It's super good. That was like my first dystopian future book that I got like so obsessed with when I was like in sixth grade too.
I'm not familiar with it at all. So they assign jobs, and then what happens?
Well, it was a really weird book. There was no color whatsoever in the world, and who knows by what technological or spiritual thing they were supposed to have achieved that, but it was that one person was designated to know a lot of things that the rest of society wasn't allowed to know.
Okay.
And that was The Giver, and he shared that information with one particular other person who, because The Giver got old and he was going to die. And this younger person, I think his name was Jonas or something.
Yeah.
He decided that, it wasn't good for him to be able to see color. He was so stunned for having seen color for the first time in his life that he was like, everyone else needs to realize the reality of the world they live in. So he ended up fleeing this compound. And as he did, supposedly, all of those lost abilities, like seeing color and memories and stuff, returned to the people that he left behind.
Oh, that's cool. When was this book written? Is this an old book?
It's by Lois Lowry. It's oldish. I think maybe the 80s, but I'm not sure. Maybe the 70s.
Have you guys ever seen Pleasantville?
No, but I know Reese Witherspoon is in it.
That's correct.
I've seen it, but I was about the same age then, and I don't remember as much about it as I do The Giver.
In Pleasantville, everything is in black and white. It's like this sort of old town, back in the 50s, perfect place, and it's all black and white. Just to give you the summary of the movie, it's about these two teenagers from the real world that get zapped into this TV show called Pleasantville. And so they're stuck in this TV world, and it's literally in black and white. So they go from their color world into this black and white world. And it's really about this sort of eye-opening experience of taking this black and white place and colorizing it over time with things like feelings and excitement and sex and like all kinds of cool things that end up happening in this world. And it's a really neat movie. I highly recommend it.
Okay.
It sounds kind of similar. I don't know if it's, maybe it's got some similar themes as The Giver.
They made The Giver into a movie as well recently, didn't they?
Yeah, I think it had Meryl Streep in it.
Did you watch it?
I did watch it, and I didn't like it as much as the book, but I liked the book a lot, so.
So Cubans were restricted to working in just 127 officially approved private sector job descriptions previously, prior to the weekend.
Some of these, they could choose between one of 127 different jobs to do.
I don't know what level of choice they actually had in this. That's a good question. Some of those legalized activities over the years included working as a barber, tire repairer, palm tree trimmer, or a dandy, as the government referred to Cubans who dressed up to pose with tourists for photos. But many Cubans chafed that the government's list did not include opportunities created by recently increased access to the internet and Cubans' own seemingly limitless ability to innovate and invent. Now they will have the ability to work in over 2,000 different fields. The new measures for self-employment approved by the Council of Ministers will expand significantly the activities one can carry out. A new and important step to develop this kind of work, tweeted Cuban official Marino Murillo Jorge, the reforms czar, who has been overseeing its glacially paced attempt to modernize the local economy. Self-employment and capitalism were all but forbidden in Cuba until its near total economic collapse, brought about by the fall of the Soviet Union, then the island's largest trading party.
Now, so they're not actually allowing private sector, they just expanded the list of allowable jobs.
Well, I mean,
self-employment being one, right?
Yeah, so they can start businesses now.
Okay.
Which they could not do previously.
Wow.
In any meaningful sense.
I don't know if this is like ignorant. Maybe there already are some of them doing this, but I wonder if that means like more like YouTubers will come out being like from Cuba. Like,
could be, because they actually have some internet there now, which they hadn't had up until the last decade or so, basically.
Wow, that's tragic.
And it wasn't great several years ago. I remember Photography is Not a Crime's Carlos Miller was reporting from his visit to Cuba. This was probably 4 or 5 years ago. He was at one of the like high-end hotels, and even there, the internet wasn't that great. Like, spotty at best.
So, well, it's an island.
Well, that's no excuse. I mean, there's plenty of islands that have multiple internet trunks leading to and from them. So, it's government-run, and so, of course, the internet's going to suck, right? I mean, I presume the government's in charge of the internet there. Maybe they are deregulating that as well, because that's ultimately what this story is kind of about, is how over the years Cuba in the last decade or so has slowly, as I mean, even CNN describes it as glacially paced as far as its attempt to change, slowly has been rescinding regulations and making it so people can actually do some innovation and create products and services there, which is exciting.
And this is all made possible by Fidel Castro's death, essentially, correct?
Basically, yeah. When he hadn't died before he kind of fell out of power. He was getting pretty old, so he got replaced by, I believe his brother's name is Raul Castro. And Raul almost instantly implemented some changes, some more market-oriented changes. And that may be a stretch to call them that, but there was some changes. And so we've seen these sort of baby steps over the years, and it's ultimately been a very good thing for the Cuban people. So it's blaming the fall of Soviet Union for Cuba's economic collapse, when, of course, the reality is it's the failure of communism.
And well, obviously, but they're not going to blame that.
Right. And it's CNN. So, I mean,
if they do, it wasn't real communism.
That's always what the commies will say.
Yeah.
But in this case, the Soviet Union failed because communism is a failure. And so that's why Cuba is failing, because communism is a failure.
Same reason Venezuela is failing.
Correct. And they will continue to fail until they finally change things for the better. In the meantime, people will be hungry and sick, and it'll be awful. We'll continue with more about the good news from Cuba and your thoughts coming up later on Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live, and you're invited to our website, freetalklive.com. You can enjoy a variety of features there, including the AMP program. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. It is a way for you to help us get Free Talk Live on more radio stations. And I want to thank Matt Peralt, who is a Free Talk Live silver amplifier, which means that Matt is contributing $5 a month to the AMP program to help us advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live. And he gets some perks, he gets some benefits from doing that, and you can as well. Just go and sign up at amp.freetalklive.com. You can use your credit card, debit card, PayPal, or Bitcoin BTC to get signed up. It's ampamp.freetalklive.com. In the studio tonight, you've got Ian,
Bonnie,
And Aria.
Talking about a little bit of good news for once out of Cuba, where CNN reporting that they're actually allowing people to start their own businesses in most fields of work now. They'll be able to seek employment in over 2,000 different fields. It used to be 127 different right. fields that were approved by the government.
But and, now there's 2,000.
And now that's changing, and that's a good thing because ultimately they finally, I think, are acknowledging that communism at least has not worked, and they have to try something different. And so this is good news. And it was also nice to see, at least at the end of the Obama administration, when one of the few things Barack Obama got right was he deregulated the travel to Cuba. So actually our own co-host Mark Edge has gone to Cuba.
Nice.
I think it was like 2 years ago he went there and said the women are very beautiful and had a lot of other nice things to say about the island there. But the people are incredibly poor because they're still trying to pick themselves up out of this mire of communism.
Well, this is so exciting for them. I hope that Cuba starts to be more wealthy now.
I hope so, too. Now, there's more to the story here, so let me continue. Gradually and with regular backtracking, the Cuban government allowed Cubans to stop working low-paid state jobs and go into business for themselves. By the government's own statistics, more than 600,000 Cubans now work in the private sector, although the number is likely far higher when you account for the island's thriving black market. Still, Cuban, because remember, in a communist nation, the black market is what keeps you alive.
Yes.
Right? Because if you are relying on the government and bread lines to keep your sustenance coming, that's probably not going to do it. So you've got to turn to the black market, and that's what we've seen in places like Venezuela, where people will sell dollars to you on the black market for the terrible Venezuelan bolivar. And there's a black market dollar rate for the bolivar, which is completely different than what the official bolivar rate is. So I imagine there's similar things like that in Cuba. It's just, you don't hear a whole lot about what goes on in Cuba for whatever reason. Now they do have internet, though, so that's good. Still, Cuban government officials have treated the island's entrepreneurs as a necessary evil and a possible Trojan horse that could allow opponents in the United States to at long last bring down the revolution. And while the official line from Cuban officials is that they've been implementing free market reforms, quote, without hurry, but without stopping, unquote, the opening had stalled out as the government seemed to doubt the wisdom of further empowering Cuban entrepreneurs.
Oh, God forbid.
But with the widespread impacts of the pandemic, and as Raul Castro, who's now 89, is expected to step down in April as the head of the Cuban Communist Party, the organization that charts the island's long-term economic planning, Cuba in 2021 has finally embarked on two major reforms, unifying its labyrinthine dual currency system and now lifting restrictions on jobs. The government will still prohibit or restrict Cubans from privately undertaking 124 activities. While those activities have yet to be disclosed, they will likely continue the state's monopoly on healthcare, telecommunications, and mass media.
So naturally.
By no means are we talking about a free market situation here. But it
is freer.
Yes, it is a lessening of restrictions, and that deserves, some appreciation. It deserves some applause, so kudos to them for that. The new measure over time will likely alter the face of the island's economy, said Cuban economist Ricardo Torres. He said, quote, we don't know what 124 activities will remain prohibited, but it's safe to assume that the possibilities will be expanded for professionals, an old demand in a country that has made an enormous investment in education, unquote. The changes come, too, as Cuba seeks to improve relations with the U.S., and according to the story here, after 4 years of a barrage of new economic sanctions from the Trump administration. Quote, this is long overdue, it's welcome news, and the United States should affirm that the embargo was never intended and will not be used to penalize private enterprise in Cuba. This was according to Senator Patrick Leahy from Vermont, and he continued saying, after more than half a century, isn't it time to repeal a Cold War embargo that has failed to achieve any of its objectives and has only made life harder for the struggling Cuban people? And if that's one thing that can come out of the Biden administration, then I support it.
Sure.
People in countries like Cuba and Venezuela should not have their lives made more difficult by the United States government. Their enemy is the government of their country. And yes. by the U.S. government saying, oh, we're going to stop you from doing business with people in the United States, all of you Cubans, all of you Venezuelans. Well, then you're making the United States their enemy when it didn't have to be. The United States, the people of the U.S., could have been their business trading partners this whole time. We could have been helping the Cuban people to whatever extent it was able for them to, you know, to participate
right.
in the economy. We could have helped them in creating businesses. We could have helped them in importing products and exporting products from their island to make the world a better place. But because politicians decided Cuba bad, the Cuban people have been suffering extra because of what people like Donald Trump and his predecessors.
Yeah, the politicians aren't going to suffer as a result of this. And I love what Ron Paul had to say about embargoes, because so many politicians view them as some sort of more peaceful alternative to war, but they're not. They're a prelude to war.
Sure.
They're almost never a alternative.
And I'm sure they kill people.
I'm sure many Cubans have died as a result of the United States embargo on Cuba. And isn't Absolutely. The U.S. the only country that's still, like, embargoing them?
It wouldn't surprise me. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know where you go to get that list.
I don't either. But I can't imagine it's many beyond the idiotic, stubborn American United States government doing it.
Yeah. I mean, who do they think it hurts? Why would anyone think that telling a people of a country that they can't trade with you in some way is going to dethrone their government, is somehow going to destabilize their government?
Well, lots of Trump people think that everything needs to be made and manufactured and everything in the United States. And that's how we create wealth and that's how we make America great again. But in reality, we need stuff from all over the world to be traded for a great society.
Well, if you want to have the ability to create wealth, you need to have the ability to source your products from anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Because if you're limited to just the United States, then you're going to pay too much in a lot of cases, probably in most cases. You're going to pay too much for a product that you can get from a place like Pakistan or Cuba or wherever the labor is cheaper. Because if we're just talking about people in a factory putting a thing together, you want to get that done as cheaply as you possibly can, because when you can get those products cheaper, it keeps more money in the pockets of the people in the United States.
Yep.
So, I mean, I understand the mentality of buy American, make American. I get the mentality, but it's short-sighted, and you are actually cutting your nose off to spite your face by doing that. Because when you buy American, most of the time you're paying too much. And if you paid twice as much for a thing that you could have gotten for half, then you have half as much as you could have had. Right?
Yeah,
you don't
I have
as
no,
much money left.
I have no idea what it costs to make a T-shirt, how long it takes in labor hours or anything like that. But your T-shirt at Walmart that you got for $6 or whatever, it would not be $6 if it was American made.
Oh, hell no.
And the people who work on things like that in other countries are very grateful for those jobs, and they need those jobs. And the fact that they'll work for cheaper is just proof that they would do it and that they need it. It's not like they're being slave-driven.
Well, some of them are.
Well, in some cases, there are slave manufacturing companies.
Well, I'm not advocating for that.
No, obviously not. But you're right about what you're saying, Bonnie, and that is that the people in those countries, they take factory work jobs because it's better than what they had.
Yeah.
It's a step in an economically upward direction for them. They're getting off of, eking out a living on some farm somewhere.
We had poor people in China. We effectively gave them jobs by buying all of our stuff from China.
That's right.
We liquidated the poor people in China.
And turned them into middle class.
Yes. That was a good thing.
Ultimately, it was. And the funny thing is, you talk about the Trump supporters, buy American. Well, the people on the left aren't that much different in a lot of ways. Like, they're anti a lot of these factories in a lot of these other countries. And you even had Biden, within days of taking office, announcing all these Buy American programs for the government, saying the federal government has to buy American in these different programs or whatever.
Trump? Biden did
Biden.
This?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that either.
Look
it sounds
up.
Really Trumpy. It's awful.
Look it up.
I believe you. I just haven't heard about it.
I believe you too. They're all the same.
We got more coming up here. Exactly. And you can join us a little bit later. This is Free Talk Live.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Worden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in Liberty and property. Mark Worden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the second hour of the program. Coming up here, a YouTuber is getting press here in New Hampshire for a live stream First Amendment audit of a town hall out on the seacoast. And boy, these bureaucrats are not happy about what happened.
I'm surprised in New Hampshire they're not more accustomed to this.
It's the seacoast. That's different than Keene. They're very accustomed to being recorded here in Keene. Seacoast, not so much. Keene has always had a, you know, civil disobedient, street activist, direct action kind of contingent, and that hasn't been the case out in other parts of most of the rest of New Hampshire. So we'll get to that story coming up here in a moment. With you in the studio tonight, though, it's Ian,
Bonnie,
and Aria.
Just a moment ago, we were talking about Cuba and how they're reducing the amount of government regulations and government mandates on who can do what as far as working is concerned. There's more private options now than ever before in Cuba. People can become entrepreneurs now, which they couldn't do previously. So there's a lot of really interesting things happening there. If you've been to Cuba and you want to comment, call us a little bit later when we open the phones up tonight. Because as I mentioned earlier in the show, we're doing a special mixed show where part of the show we're recorded, which we are right now. But a little bit later, we'll be here in the studio live. So stick with us. That part is coming up. But at the end of the Cuba discussion, we ended up getting into talking about, for whatever reason, Biden doing a Buy American order.
That's so surprising.
And is it, though? I mean, because as Bonnie pointed out, there really isn't a difference between these people, right?
Donald the Republicans Trump, and yeah. Democrats.
Donald Trump, Joe Biden. I mean, Trump was more entertaining, but ultimately, they're all continuing the same policies for the most part.
Trump is entertaining more consistently. But mm-hmm. when Joe Biden starts talking about kids stroking his leg hair or whatever,
that is hilarious.
He is infinitely more entertaining than Trump is.
True. Biden is unintentionally entertaining.
When he calls his daughter his dead son's name and says, "This is my son."
Yes, that too. So President Biden, this is actually from the WhiteHouse.gov press release section here. This was actually January 25th. So that's, what, 5 days after he took office? That's how soon he issued what's one of the myriad of executive orders that he has issued since he has taken office.
So it was clearly a priority to him.
Oh, yeah. They had planned to do this, right? Because as soon as he took office, he issued dozens of executive orders. From what I saw, it was way more than like what Trump did, apparently, as well. Anyway, here's their propaganda. Today, while many American businesses are on the brink of having to close their doors because of the crisis that our country faces, which, of course, the government created by mandating the people close their doors, President Biden will sign an executive order to support manufacturers, businesses, and workers to ensure that our future is made in all of America by all of America's workers. With this order, President Biden is ensuring that when the federal government spends taxpayer dollars, they are spent on American-made goods by American workers and with American-made component parts.
Isn't it fascinating that this is almost the exact opposite of what Cuba did?
Good point.
Cuba became a little freer, and the United States is like, no, we want to scratch that socialism itch a little bit more.
The executive order. But the thing is that presumably the conservatives should love this, right? This is all about Buy American, and it is pretty commie.
Yeah, sounding. It's weird that Ari and I hadn't heard of it at all. I heard of some of the executive orders that he did, but not this one.
Well, right. I mean, is the right-wing media going, or the right-wing talk radio going to praise Biden for this? No, they're going to ignore it. Even though they would have,
sure.
Even though if Trump did the same thing, they would have praised him for hours and hours on the air. This executive order fulfills President Biden's promise to make Buy American real and close loopholes that allow companies to offshore production and jobs while still qualifying for domestic preferences. President Biden's executive action will ensure the federal government is investing taxpayer dollars in American businesses.
How about just let the taxpayers keep their dollars and invest it how they choose?
That would be what freedom would be, yes.
It would be superior to what he's trying to do.
It sure would. But they've already stolen the money, so...
So this is basically a bailout for failing American companies that can't compete with companies that are actually producing things that we are buying and that we do want to buy.
Yeah, that's definitely a way to look at it.
Not surprised to see more bailouts from the government.
Those investments will help create well-paid union jobs and build our economy back better so that everybody has a fair shot at the middle class. They will buy from all of America, including minority entrepreneurs and businesses in every region in our country. And they'll support the manufacturing capabilities and technology needed to build a clean energy future and strengthen our national security, and give our workers and companies the tools they need to compete globally for decades to come.
What the hell is even manufactured in America anymore?
Jobs in retail?
Yeah, we sell the stuff that other countries manufacture, but
there are some manufacturing plants that do things. I mean, there is, for instance, a company here that I think they... I don't know if they actually probably don't even manufacture the equipment. There's like a medical supply company here in Keene.
Yeah.
I think they manufacture some things.
I'm trying to like go through my mind to see if I remember anybody in my life ever like working at a factory, and I really don't. My dad said he did in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. The executive action is part of the president's broader commitment to increase investments in manufacturing industries and workers in order to build back better. The president is committed to working on a bipartisan basis to advance this work, including with members of Congress who have been leaders on Buy American and Buy America for years. And they go on and on and on and on here about this thing.
The glories of patriotic socialism.
Yeah. And let's see. So then they talk about the executive order. The dollars the federal government spends on goods and services are a powerful tool to support American workers and manufacturers. Contracting alone accounts for nearly $600 billion in federal spending. Federal law requires government agencies to give preferences to American firms, however. Those preferences have not always been implemented consistently or effectively. And some of these requirements, which shape how the government preferences domestic goods and services and what it buys, have not been substantially updated since 1954, during the Eisenhower administration. It is long overdue that the U.S. government utilizes the full force of current domestic preferences to support America's workers and businesses, strengthening our economy. And by the way, that's BS, because it doesn't strengthen the economy. And you touched on this, Aria, when you steal money from people first and then hand a fraction of it back to them.
Yeah, that's not helpful.
No, that is.
It's weakening the economy a little bit less than you were a moment ago, but it's not much of an improvement.
Correct, because you're taking money out of the hands of the people who earned it and who know how best to spend it. Even if they don't spend it in the way that you think is best, they are the ones who should make those decisions. They are the ones who deserve the freedom to make those choices. And so to take away their money out of their hands and then give it to preferentially treated companies because, you know, again, if I'm a business owner and I've earned, you know, whatever living that I've made, I've sold whatever product it is that I've sold. If I wanted to spend that money on something from China or something from Cuba or something from outside of the United States, now I'm unable to do that. And instead, the government's going to go and spend it possibly with my competitor now.
Also a good point.
So not only does it take away your opportunity to make the choice, but it also possibly... boosts your competition who's willing to pander to the government. So
it's not an improvement for freedom, and it's not an improvement for the American economy.
The president going on here talking about all these actions he's taking. Anyway, says Made in America refers to domestic preferences related to federal procurement, federal grants, and other forms of federal assistance. Buy American and Buy America refers to the specific statutes that go by those names. And I'm just going to skip the rest of this article because it's just pure propaganda. But I just wanted to share it with you guys because you were surprised that, oh my God, Biden would do this? Well, yes, he would, because guess what? He gets money from the same corporations that Trump does.
It is just handing more power to the government.
That's right. And those corporations.
I just want to know where my $1,400 check is. I need to buy more Bitcoin.
Yeah, when's that coming in?
I don't know.
I thought you said they were going to do that. No?
They were going to do what?
I thought they were going to do that. What's going on with that?
The $1,400 stimulus checks? It's in Congress right now, presumably.
So they haven't finished the back scratching.
Yeah, I remember there was a weekend that I really thought we were going to get our last stimulus check in August, and we didn't get it until January.
That's the government for you. There's more coming up here and your calls and thoughts later on Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, special episode that we're mixing up a little bit with no call-ins for the first half, and then towards the end we'll open up the phones because we're in the midst of a what
troll
should be
job.
Very interesting Republican county meeting here, or city meeting here in Keene, which we'll tell you more about after the fact. Coming up probably in the next segment or so, I'm guessing.
I would imagine so.
But we're in the past right now.
That's correct. With you tonight, it's Ian.
Bonnie.
And Arya.
And so a little bit of news out of our very own New Hampshire. I saw this in the New Hampshire Cop Block group that I'm in on Telegram. There's a couple of guys now that are living here, and I think they're both relatively new movers. One of them is the guy from, his name is Joa, and he does a channel called Breaking the Flaw on YouTube. And he's been doing this for years where he didn't live in New Hampshire up until 2020. He moved in 2020, I think. And prior to that, he was in Rhode Island and had been doing a lot of sort of New England area, what they call First Amendment audits. Do you know what that is? What a First Amendment audit is?
So when you go to a public, like a courthouse or something, you try to make sure that they're letting you film and film them trying to take your camera away.
Well, hopefully they won't try to take your camera away, but if they do, it usually makes for some pretty good footage. But yeah, the idea behind a First Amendment audit is not just to go to courthouses, but any government building. Any building that is ostensibly open to the public, you go in with a video camera rolling and you just tour around and see where you can go and see what the bureaucrats do.
And they usually call the police and the police come and they want to question you and get all your information and tell you that what you're doing is suspicious because you might be a terrorist and other nonsense.
You've seen some of these?
Yes.
So there's apparently another guy. So I mentioned Joa from Breaking the Flaw, and he's a longtime Free Talk Live listener. It was actually our show, I think, that helped influence him to make the move to New Hampshire. So
nice.
Kudos. In fact, we're actually now sponsoring Breaking the Flaw on YouTube,
Sweet.
Which is pretty cool. But there's actually another guy apparently out there, and we're going to talk about him here. Hampton, New Hampshire. Now, Hampton. This is one of the like beach communities where the rich people live, basically.
Sure.
And
that's the beach that we went to for Veterans Day or Memorial Day or whatever, right?
That's right. When we went illegally onto the beach in New Hampshire that was closed.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And no one gave us a hard time.
That was Hampton Beach, which is, I think, next door to Hampton.
Okay.
And then there's like Northampton or something. So there's like three different Hampton towns, and they're all over in the seacoast. Anyway, this is from SeacoastOnline.com. A man who live streamed from town hall complaining his rights were being violated because he wasn't allowed to go to the second floor due to COVID-19 restrictions, quote, frightened, unquote, town employees, but did nothing illegal. The February 1st incident resulted in a few town employees emailing Selectman Mary Louise Woolsey, telling her they were, quote, terrified, unquote, of the, quote, lunatic who went into the town office with his camera. Unquote.
Sounds like AOC, how she almost died in
taken
the Capitol.
So this guy's filming everything he's doing and they still feel afraid?
That's right.
That's the exact opposite of how this should work.
Well, that's how unfamiliar they are with people actually exercising their rights at this town hall.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking earlier. Like, that looks so odd to them that they have to go up and see what the suspicious thing is about just because somebody is filming what they're doing.
Yep, and they were scared about it. Woolsey wanted to know why selectmen were never notified by town management and why town police did not, quote, take him somewhere and throw him. No idiots should be allowed in.
Who said that?
This is a selectman. This is the equivalent of a city councilor in this town.
No idiot should be allowed in?
Yeah, take him somewhere
and throw
him.
Well, then she's not allowed in.
somebody needs to throw him. That's so stupid.
Town manager Jamie Sullivan addressed the incident for the second time Monday night, saying at no time was any town employee in danger. Sullivan said, "I was involved from the beginning. Law enforcement was involved from the beginning. They monitored it the entire time. No one was unsafe. At no time was this person a danger. An annoyance, perhaps, but nothing further." Unquote. The man, who identifies himself on camera as Mark, live streamed the entire incident on his YouTube channel called Press NH Now.
Wow, they actually plugged his channel.
They did. So kudos to them for that. They didn't link to it, but they did say what it was called. Trying to make the point that COVID-19 policy decisions were not law and that he had a right to film in a public building. The hour and 49-minute video starts with the man stating that he was just informed he would be arrested if he returned to the second floor where the town manager, finance department, and town attorney's officers are located. The second floor has been closed to the public due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Coronavirus doesn't go on second floors.
Quote, "I don't follow policy, I follow the law, and they are denying me access to upstairs," he says while talking to his followers, commenting in the chat section. Quote, "This is a public building, we all pay for it." He later stated he was conducting a First Amendment audit, trying to get a copy of the town's code enforcement ordinance while videoing town employees as he asked them for assistance. Quote, "You guys are looking bad," he says, while informing his viewers the town is violating the Freedom of Information Act after he was told he could locate it on the town's website. Quote, "This is unbelievable," he said. He left for a short period to visit the library after being directed that a copy of the ordinance was there, but returned shortly later after finding out that it was from 2019. He eventually left town hall after a town employee printed out the entire 2020 ordinance book for him. Sullivan told Woolsey the man is known to police and has done similar audits in other communities.
Who was Sullivan again?
This is the town manager.
Okay. So it sounds like he's at least being reasonable about it and trying to, you know, yes, the police are aware of him. He's not doing anything wrong, though.
Yeah, it sounds like the police handled this professionally.
Yeah.
And the town bureaucrats, on the other hand, or some of them, the elected people, just did not know how to handle this. According to his YouTube channel, he's done audits in Bedford, Franklin, Rochester, and Salem. He appears to mimic other YouTube activists who've gone into town halls and police departments all over the country to film employees and patrons and see if they will interfere with their constitutional rights. It's basically like a test.
That's why it's called an audit.
Right. They want to see what they'll do. And if they screw it up and they arrest him, well, then he's got a lawsuit and he can cash in. So basically, these guys that are doing these First Amendment audits are providing a real service to those of us who actually appreciate freedom and freedom of speech and the right to record video. So I'm grateful to them.
Have you ever done one of these?
I mean, essentially, whenever you go to a place and record video, it's the same thing. Whether you're going there for the intention of a quote-unquote First Amendment audit or not. So I have not done a First Amendment audit, but I have recorded in a ton of government buildings. So ultimately, the same thing.
Yeah, they just passed their test.
I recorded Ian in the town hall last week. I think it was last week, but I did a bad job because I was recording Ian and I was supposed to be recording the bureaucrat lady. Well,
but we don't know if it was a bad job yet because we haven't actually reviewed the footage. But Bonnie helped me challenge a parking ticket last week at Keene City Hall. And actually, it was interesting because it wasn't actually the parking ticket. It was a $60 collections notice that I'd received from a private collections company that was trying to collect a debt that they said that the church owed to the city of Keene. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, this is based on a parking ticket? Well, I would always challenge a parking ticket if I found a parking ticket on any car I was driving. So
right.
I know if I got a parking ticket, I challenged it. So there's no chance this should have gone to collections. It should have gone to court. So that's what we went to the city to do. And what they said was pretty revealing. I'll share that with you coming up here in moments. And I hope we got it on the video. More coming up.
Look, I'm sorry, but you're in for a world of pain if you use Koinomi. The reason is their wallet doesn't support payments. The solution is simple. Let them hear your voice. Message Koinomi on Twitter, it takes 5 seconds, and tell them AnyPay sent you, because they're on the fence right now, and your voice will prove that people care about using Bitcoin for payments. Go tweet at Koinomi now. Or even better, leave a review in the App Store. They really pay attention there. Thanks.
Hey, we're actually live now. Welcome to the program, and sorry about the dead air at the beginning of the show. I know you shouldn't apologize for mistakes like that, but it was 3 minutes. You couldn't ignore that one. So
it happens. I mean, no one's perfect.
Nope, I screwed that one up, and that's because we were doing something different earlier in the show, which is playing a recorded episode that we started doing last night. And the reason was we were going to attend and have a little trolling fun with the local Republican committee meeting here in Keene, because it seemed like in advance that they had been trying to push out any supporters of you, Aria Domenzo. And that certainly seems like what they were doing tonight.
Well, they definitely did that in Grafton County, New Hampshire.
Right. And this is Cheshire County, and that's what they did tonight.
Almost openly in Grafton.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was pretty openly in Grafton. Yeah. I don't know if I can share the emails that I was sent, and I would ask for permission before I did. I guess It probably doesn't matter now since the person's no longer a chair in the first place. But yeah, it was 100% in Grafton.
All about you.
About me.
Yeah.
And the fact that he and I were friends.
He was your supporter.
Yeah.
Specifically. So we said we were coming back live. We are back live. We'll take your calls and your thoughts at 603-283-6160. I do have the actual audio of the bureaucrat at the parking department, which is what we were talking about at the very end of our recorded show.
Oh, you do have that.
I have that audio ready to go, so we can play that for you, where they actually admit on video audio that they would prefer to not have to fight us in court, basically. I'm summarizing what she said.
That's beautiful.
Let me go to your phone calls here first. We got Mark. He's in Arizona. Mark, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you for taking my call.
Turn down that radio in the background, or it's going to get real confusing.
I'm sorry, I can't.
You can't. Okay. Well, it's going to get possibly very confusing. Go ahead with what you had to say.
Does Aria have any comment to the...
Hello? See, this is what I was talking about. You're listening to yourself on the radio, and it's going to confuse the hell out of you.
Let me turn it off.
That's what I asked you to do before. Okay. So
I'm sure I have some sort of comment about whatever, though. I mean,
I usually do. Mark, are you done with that, or should we come back to you?
Wait a minute. Okay. I'm trying to turn it off.
Yeah, we're going to give you a minute, and you can wait there while we bring Ronald on the line here in Indiana. Ronald, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, sir. I kind of like to change it up a little bit. I got to check into some math, and I can't figure out why 51% of black babies are aborted in the United States now.
Huh?
And only 18 to 12 of white babies. God called and said, could we get the white baby abortion rate up a little higher so it's closer? I'm not a racist or nothing, but should we bring the white baby rate up or should we take the black rate down? I'm kind of confused here. I don't really get it. LeBron's not complaining. Stephon's not complaining. Jackson's not complaining. The DNC's not complaining. For Christ's sake, they support these fools. I'm sorry.
Well, let me... I support an individual doing whatever the individual thinks is best for their long-term, you know, well-being. And
yeah,
the fact of the matter...
Hold on, let me finish.
Let me finish.
I'll put them on hold. Go ahead.
Babies are very expensive. It's generally good advice for a person who's trying to move forward in the world and establish a career and things like that to not have a baby. You know, mistakes happen, things like that. So abortion becomes necessary. If that's happening more commonly in black neighborhoods, black communities, it's not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. It's just opening up those people to move forward in the world without having this, you know, $20,000 a year debt attached to them.
And as far as you saying that black celebrities don't talk about it, Kanye West very publicly brought it up at the beginning of 2020, saying that he thinks that it's like a conspiracy.
He brought up
Yes, ma'am. The black does it. The BNC doesn't say nothing. The black leaders don't say nothing. Is that not treason, or am I just an idiot?
It sounds like it's people
treason.
Voluntarily having abortions, so...
I'm not really sure what your point is here tonight, Ronald.
I better go. I'm getting upset. Hey, God bless you.
Okay, goodbye. 603-283-6160. I'm not sure what the point of that call was exactly.
Well, Planned Parenthood does have its origins as being a racist eugenics program, purportedly. Mm-hmm. I've never actually looked into it, but I've read it in mainstream sources.
Margaret, whatever her name was, Margaret Sanger, she was just a racist. She was a straight up racist.
So I wouldn't be terribly surprised to find that there is some sort of conspiracy to, I don't know. I don't see abortion as necessarily hurting any of these communities. If it's, you know,
no, if anything, it would actually help those people who don't now have to pay for a child they didn't want.
Right.
I mean, that's going to do economic damage to a person and will do damage to a child, because if you're born to parents who don't want you, that's not going to be a good life.
Yeah.
And I can only see if they mandated that abortions were illegal, that it would be worse.
It would be way worse.
Because abortions wouldn't go away, first of all. They would just return to the back alleys with coat hangers.
Or worse. Yeah, baseball bats or whatever it is people would come up with. Let's go back to Mark. Let's give him another shot here. Mark, did you get your radio turned off?
Yeah, I finally got it off.
Great. Go ahead with what you were calling about.
Well, Dennis Prager said today on his radio show that should a biological male compete with the biological female?
You mean like in a sporting event?
Because he identifies as a woman.
Are you talking about like a sporting event?
I don't know what he was talking about, but he
I don't know either.
I would assume a sporting event.
Okay. What's the question for Aria?
For Aria is... is it right that the biological male should compete against the biological woman?
There's, in what?
In any sort of sports.
Yeah, he's referring to certain people who are trans want to go, let's say they were born a man and they have transitioned into female, should they be allowed to compete in like the women's NBA or women's weightlifting or women's whatever? Aria, what do you think?
There's no real good answer to this that's going to make everyone happy. But you do have, I think, the fastest female runner in the world is just constantly being accused of being trans or having XXY chromosomes or whatever. Hmm. It's not that gender and sexuality aren't these ultra simple things that people who grow up and think, oh, well, boys have this part and girls have this part and that's the end of it. It's not that simple when we're actually adults. You know, it matters. I can probably out arm wrestle a lot of, you know, still biological men, and there are a lot of biological women who could do that as well. It's not like every single male is stronger than every single female.
No, but
on average, though,
men, I mean, people born as men are upper body strength. They got it when women don't, generally.
They have the physical prowess because of testosterone, but on the other hand, you do have, you know, female to male trans people who could have been, you know, injecting testosterone from the time they were 12 and essentially gone through puberty as a male. Would they be able to compete on the same level with someone like Tom Brady or whoever? I have no idea. And what these athletes want to do is, what I want them to do is make their own decisions. If they don't think a competition is fair, then stop competing in that competition and find one that you think is fair.
Yeah, start your own league.
Okay, but and ultimately, this is a question that only the leagues should be answering for themselves as a private organization that makes decisions about whatever their rules are. But if you were in charge of, you know, women's weightlifting, would you exclude people born as men?
I would.
You would?
I would.
I think I'm kind of with you on that one, you know, because it doesn't seem fair.
I mean, I would gladly refer to them as females and all of that, but if they were on steroids, I would exclude them as well. And for all intents and purposes, testosterone is a steroid.
Mm. Well, would you exclude women who've been, like, weightlifting before? I don't know. Like, there's lots of different ways to have
a woman from a weightlifting competition for women.
But there's lots of different ways to have an advantage.
Sure. But there's no
doubt. Taller women with longer arms.
I mean, no doubt about it, but I mean, how many pull-ups can you do?
Zero. I'm pretty sure I'm on the low end of that anyway.
I've never had a girlfriend who could do a pull-up. How about you, Aria?
I do not generally ask whether or not they can do pull-ups, so I have no idea.
It's just not fair. I mean, it's not even a close competition between men with upper body strength and like I never practiced at pull-ups over years of my life, and I could hop up and do at least a handful usually.
Well, also you're thin. You don't have to lift a lot.
Well, so are you. All right. So thank you, Mark, for the call. I think 603-283-6160. Appreciate it. And you can call in to bring up whatever you want. We'll play the parking department situation. It is Free Talk Live. The number here is 603-283-6160. And, of course, you can bring up anything you want. We are live at this part of the night, so thanks for bearing with us as we did the first hour and a half as a recorded episode. And maybe we should recap what happened. We failed miserably.
Oh, it was exactly what we expected.
Yeah, yeah.
Still trolled. We didn't fail at trolling.
That's true. That's true. R.A., you were topless, as you promised, during this call with the Republicans. It was one of these Zoom meetings. There were, what, about 20, I would say, people on this? Maybe a little more than that, 20 or so, 20 and change.
I can check the actual video I took, but I think it was at least 21 at one point, and then Matt Roach came on, so I think the total was 22.
I think we had, what, 7 or 8 votes for you compared to they had like 17 for the other person?
Yeah, they stacked the deck significantly harder than we did.
Yes, with everyone who was over the age of 60 or 65 that are Republicans in Keene. Keene, New Hampshire is where we live. We tried to join the Republican Party a couple of years ago just to, you know, to have access to the ballot in a way that the Libertarians didn't, because it's a lot easier to run as a Republican, as we mentioned, I think, earlier in the show tonight. And, you know, tried to bring some fresh, young people into the Republican Party, because honestly, they're just dying off. Literally, they are getting old and they're not being replaced by anyone. So, I mean,
we did a good job of that. We brought in a lot of young people.
We did.
And all of those young people were just smacked down tonight.
That's right. I was the vice chair of the party, and Bob Call was the chairman of the party, and neither of us are continuing in those roles. We were replaced by a woman and a man, probably in their 60s. So
you were replaced by old white retirees.
Yeah, yeah. So there's not a whole lot that appears to be changing here with the Republican Party. In fact, right now at the top of the Drudge Report, there's a headline: "There's nothing left. Why thousands of Republicans are leaving the party."
It's tens of thousands. I looked into the article. I don't know why they characterized it so lightly, but yeah, it's 20,000 so far.
Wow.
And maybe as high as 75,000.
Is that nationwide?
It says here it's in California. It's more than 33,000 Republicans in just California. Pennsylvania, 12,000 voters. 10,000 Republicans in Arizona. So, I mean, you're talking about New York Times did an analysis of January voting records, found that nearly 140,000 Republicans had quit the party in 25 states that had readily available data. And 19 states do not even have registration by party. So it'd be hard to know in those particular states. So, I mean, the Republican Party's got a lot of problems on its hands right now. Now, I don't know why this schism is happening at the moment. I'm not tapped into the heart of the Republican Party or anything like that. I don't care about the Democrats or the Republicans. Ultimately, to me, my goal is to get the ideas of liberty out there into an election. And whether I can do if I can do that as a Democrat, I'll do it as a Democrat. I did that when I ran for governor two times in a row here in New Hampshire as a Democrat. If I can do
were
it
you
as
on
a,
the ballot, as
I was
for the general election,
for the primary.
Okay,
I did not.
That's unfortunate.
I didn't get through. I didn't get through the primary. But
maybe I should try that.
You know, why not? Why not? But I was, you know, I've run as a Republican here in Keene. I've run as a Libertarian, as well. Whatever it takes to get the word out about freedom, I'm going to do it. But it's interesting seeing what's happening here. I mean, they're at least here in New Hampshire, they're closing ranks. They're shutting out the young people that were trying to get involved in their party and doing everything they can to be as inaccessible. Well, I guess they were accessible tonight in that they were on Zoom.
I don't know. We've never had any sort of check as people came into our meetings in the past. Oh, can I see your Republican card? I need to know that you're actually a registered voter. Not to mention,
we would have to check that if we were going to have a vote. We would.
Okay,
it's part fair. It's part of the bylaws.
But not to mention, they carefully controlled who could access the meeting and who couldn't.
That's
even
right.
If you had the email, even if you had all of the information you needed, they had to actually approve to let you join.
Correct.
And that's gatekeeping if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, they had a plan tonight. They executed their plan, and they did it flawlessly as far as their perspective is concerned. They got all their cronies back in charge of this pointless party, by the way. The Keene Republican Party is completely pointless. It is, it essentially they're shouting into the wind, basically, here in Keene, because Keene is a strong Democrat, you know, major stronghold location. It's yes. Democrats top to bottom. Democrats win every single election here, unless it's like a city council, which is nonpartisan. In that case, you have a chance as a Republican, but you can't really wear your Republicanism on your sleeve. Otherwise, it isn't going to work for you. But they basically just shut out everybody who is under the age of 60 from participating. And at the same time, they're having a bunch of people leaving their party. Juan Nunez, now this is nationwide, he's an Army veteran in Pennsylvania, said he recently left the party and he had long felt the difference between the United States and other countries was that campaign season fighting ended on Election Day when all sides would peacefully accept the result. He said the January 6th riot changed that. What happened in D.C. that day? It broke my heart, said Nunez, a lifelong Republican who is preparing to register as an independent. He says, it shook me to the core. So apparently, the biggest spikes in Republicans leaving the party came in the days after January 6th. So apparently they're blaming the Republican Party for what happened.
Well, the Republican Party stood behind Trump and his nonsense for 4 years. Mm-hmm. They almost never challenged him on it. And when they did, it was very weak and ineffective. So I'm not surprised. You know, they didn't have the backbone to challenge Trump until he was on his way out of power.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly they're like, oh, he no longer matters anyway. We can finally stand up to him.
Right.
They're cowards. I wouldn't want to be associated with them either. I do briefly want to give credit to the Keene Republican Committee for not falling into any of the traps that were laid tonight. They never addressed the fact that I was topless or the fact that Bonnie was misgendering them. Or that I was wearing a leash, they ignored all of it.
Honestly, I didn't notice the leash.
Okay.
I just kept looking at your breasts.
It was right in between them.
Was it? Wow. Yeah. Didn't even notice that. But apparently they didn't say anything at all. And you're right. They could have fallen into the trap, but they didn't. So I guess they deserve some credit for that.
I bet they were preparing for trolling.
They would Maybe. Be stupid if they weren't. There's like, guess. Hey, we're about to kick out all these people. They know we're about to kick them out.
Yeah.
Aria is attending this event. There will be shenanigans.
Yeah. And there's video. You're going to work on that tonight. That's going to be posted where?
I'll probably send it to you if that's okay and you're going to be awake to put it on Freekeen. I'm just going to clip out the really boring stuff.
Okay. Is that going to get me banned from YouTube?
It didn't. I can just put
topless?
It on my channel then.
Yeah, why don't you put it on your channel and then I can
It didn't hurt me in the past, but...
What's your channel, Aria?
On YouTube.
YouTube.com/... Just go to YouTube.AriaDemezzo.com. That'll get you there.
YouTube.AriaDemezzo.com.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So they're talking about people here leaving the Republican Party. Many of them are going to register as independent. Other states have the unaffiliated status or undeclared like we do here in New Hampshire. So I wonder if we're going to see similar things happening here. And, you know, in some places there have actually been, I think it was Oregon, where the Libertarian Party had a fight, which, of course, they're always fighting about something in the Libertarian Party. But in this case, there were actually two competing Libertarian parties who were trying to, like, be the real Libertarian Party. And I don't know exactly how that panned out or if they're still fighting.
I'm sure they're still fighting.
But, you know, how does that work exactly with, like, in New Hampshire with the Republican Party here? If we, like, filed to say that we are the one true Republican Party of Keene and these other people are, you know, illegal usurpers or something like that, it probably wouldn't do anything at all. But
we're more principled in the ideas of freedom than them.
Well, we definitely are that.
And decentralization.
I don't
Absolutely.
Know. I don't think it would probably fly because, as we learned tonight, the Republican Party is entirely centralized and entirely top-down controlled, meaning that everything comes from the state party on down, and if you don't align with them, then they will stop you.
Yeah, it's absolutely absurd. I mean, they want to paint themselves as being, you know, for a smaller federal government and for stronger local governments, but mm-hmm. everything within their party structure suggests that they're the exact opposite of that.
We could spell Republican wrong.
You mean register a different political party or something?
Yeah, we could be the Republican Party of Keene with a K instead of a C or something.
Unfortunately,
I don't know. Honestly, I don't really desire to have any further association with these people after their behavior over the last 7 or 8, 9 months.
Yeah, it felt dirty to register as a Republican.
It did to me as well, but I was like, but I'm not actually a Republican, so it's just a letter next to my name. But I do feel awkward pointing out to people that I'm registered as a Republican. They're like, you? It's a long story.
So now you're thinking about registering as a Democrat?
I don't know. I don't know, man.
Because unfortunately, there's so many good paths
forward that it's like, how do I pick this one? What's going to be the funniest?
Indeed. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. If you want to join us, you can do that. Coming up here, we get the parking department admitting that they're glad that we haven't been taking things to court. They don't want that to happen because they always have to drop the charges whenever that happens. We'll explain what's going on with that. Coming up here in Hour 3, you can join us as well. It's Free Talk Live.
There are basically two types of advertising, direct response and branding. Radio is great for direct response with its low cost to listener ratio, but audio can't be beat for branding, which is a longer term endeavor. You want to be the first thing that someone thinks of when they think about your product or service. If you have a local business that you want kept top of mind in your community, call the station. If you need national reach, Free Talk Live's got around 200 radio stations, millions of monthly listening sessions, can suit all budgets, and if we don't think we're right for you, we'll tell you. Email me, mark at freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the third hour here. The number is 603-283-6160. If you want to join us, you can. And you can take control of the airwaves. Here tonight, it's Ian,
Bonnie,
and Aria.
And, of course, you can bring up anything. That is the point here at 603-283-6160. We'll go to your phone calls and thoughts coming up here in just a moment. I did mention that it was earlier, I think, in the last hour when we were doing the recorded part of the show tonight. And we are now back to being live. Unless, of course, you're listening later on, in which case then we're always recorded. But if you're listening live from 7 to 10 at night Eastern, then you're now hearing us live. And what I was saying was there was a situation where I received a notice from a collections agency that I owed the city of, not I, but the church, the Shire-Free Church, owed the city of Keene $60 for a parking ticket. And my response, of course, was that can't be because every parking ticket that I've ever received, I've challenged in court. I've demanded my court date, and usually they drop the ticket.
Right.
Because they don't want to go to court. So,
which means that anyone who's willing to walk in there and request a court date effectively has free parking within the city of Keene.
Correct. But, you know, it takes time, right? Like, if you get a ticket, you have to go down to the city building and you have to go up to the parking window and you have to, you know, deal with them. So a lot of people, they don't want to spend time. They don't want to have to go to court because you do have to also be willing to go to court as well.
True.
And it takes their time, too.
It does. And that's why they don't want to do it. They don't want to go to court because it's only a $10 ticket. And their prosecutor has other things he'd probably rather or she would rather be doing. So it's like, do you
then
really
prosecuting
want to spend
freaking parking tickets? Yeah. God, I would rather be doing anything with my life other than being the person who prosecutes parking tickets.
Right. So, you know, they've learned their lesson effectively here over the years in Keene, New Hampshire, where we do this show from, because multiple hosts have done this. Chris Wade on Friday nights was the most successful recent parking ticket challenger. They actually did take his tickets to court. This was probably like 3 years ago now, and he won.
Nice.
Which was really interesting. Cause
how did he win?
You should watch the trial. He basically beat them on technicalities.
Wrote down the wrong street or something, correct?
Yeah, they put
down
like the wrong license plate address or the wrong street. Or there was like something they got wrong on the ticket. And if they were, you know, paying attention, they would have gotten it right. But they're lazy bureaucrats. And so they just dropped the ball and didn't fill it out right. They figure you're just going to pay. You know, they can get all the information wrong. As long as they leave a ticket on most people's car windshields, they'll pay it.
That's awesome because that means Chris wasted their time and didn't have to give them money.
Correct. And he also got like, I don't know, 200,000 views on that video. I mean, it's an incredibly well-viewed video on the Free Keene YouTube channel.
Nice.
So it turns out a lot of people want to see what it's like when you actually challenge a parking ticket. or a speeding ticket. Almost any time we get a video that's put up on the Freekeen YouTube channel, and Freekeen YouTube only has like 20,000 subscribers, so it's not like
only 20,000.
Right, but it's not like you can get 100,000 views out of 20,000 subscribers, right?
True.
So people are sharing, people are searching. So there's people who are searching for speeding ticket trial or something like that on YouTube, because if you go and you look at like these just basic level ticket things that people are challenging here in Keene, 100,000 views, 100,000 views, 200,000 views. I mean, it's people want to see this boring ass court stuff.
But because they want to know what's possible.
Right.
You know?
Right. They've never seen anything like that before.
Or see what they have to say in court to get it taken away.
Well, almost never do you actually win. I mean, if you go to court, you're likely going to lose. I mean, they've usually got the evidence against you and, you know, case closed. They put on their case and the judge rules in their favor and guilty. But that doesn't mean you actually have to pay them after all is said and done. In fact, I would recommend that you not.
I mean, especially here in New Hampshire, because isn't one day in jail like $150 or something?
Yeah, it's $150 off of any fine that they've assessed to you. We'll get to this audio here of what they said in the actual the parking department when Bonnie and I went in to find out why I was looking at the $60 collections notice from a private collections company. Like, how did this happen? I'll play that for you coming up here. But Kirby is on the line in Indiana. Kirby, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, first of all, you know, I looked
Kirby, do me a favor. Do me a favor, man. Before you go on, back off your phone like, I don't know, 6 inches. You're way over loud.
My bad. Is that better?
That's much better. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Our local newspaper, front page, bottom of the fold yesterday, said that black and Latino people are twice as likely to catch COVID, yet only 3% of us are willing to take the vaccine. I get up this morning and my YouTube feed was flooded with blacks and Latinos are twice as likely to catch this. And I'm 60, bruh. And I know two people who've had it. One is a nurse who works exclusively with old people. Mm-hmm. And one was a cousin who was 85 and already had a bad heart.
Okay. And is the nurse also black?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She said she got sick as a dog for about 2 weeks and then felt great.
Yeah. I mean, there's just not a whole lot of evidence in my personal life of anybody getting any serious ramifications from this particular disease.
Everyone I personally know and am associated with who has had it was sick for maybe like 24 hours with mm-hmm. a relatively mild cold, and then they felt better. But no, they had to quarantine for 2 weeks because they might kill someone's 85-year-old grandma who's probably going to die in the next year or two anyway.
Had to miss work because of that.
So, Kirby, you were just calling to share your personal experience on this.
Just wanted to share that. You know, and I saw Fauci and his crony this morning telling us we ought to wear two masks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just hearing it on the news break at the top of the hour. The CDC is apparently now recommending two masks, apparently.
Well, of course, because all of their followers are now beginning to wear two masks to just show how much they mm-hmm. adhere to the state religion. So the high priest had to come out and say, yes, two masks. You are the good flock. You are the good children.
Kirby, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. So just threw this video together here on – it's not even online yet. I don't know if I'm going to put it online because there's really not that much to it. But here's the audio.
All right. We're going to go to the parking department and find out why they sent this collection notice for $60. When they know that we always challenge our tickets. So, let's see what they say. Hello there.
By the way, she's not wearing a mask.
Well, that's good. Do you think they start to shake or shudder or be afraid when they see one of us walking in there?
No.
Oh, God, what is this?
They know what to expect.
Charfree Church received this notice from what appears to be a collections agency, NDC Recovery Services. And it surprises me because any ticket that I get, I always challenge. So.
It looks like I bet you it did go to court. And what happens is, unfortunately, because I was like, we haven't had anything in a long time.
Yeah.
Could you hear that?
No.
Okay, it's the hardest part of the video to hear. She says, We haven't had anything in a long time. I like it that way. So that's basically the admission right there. Basically, the rest of it's just her saying we're going to, well, she'll take care of it. And so I don't have to worry about the $60. But the statement is, we haven't had anything in a long time, meaning we haven't had to deal with you in a long time.
Yeah, she knew Ian.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt she did. But she was basically admitting that, you know, we haven't had to take any of these tickets to court or with them in a long time. And that's the way we like it. We don't like it when the little people start challenging us and fighting their tickets and asserting their rights.
If you don't pay the ticket and you don't pay the fine, you're going to cost the government more money than, I don't know, than it would be taking in if everyone paid them.
So they rely on people sort of going along to get along. They rely that people are inconvenienced by their processes, that court is a pain in the butt. No one wants
to go.
No one wants to go to court. And that's a completely sensible thing for people to not want to go to court. But unfortunately, because people are so obedient, as we've seen, especially in the year 2020, they'll just do whatever it is they're told. That's what government relies on.
Sometimes nobody or people don't know that they can challenge these things, because I really didn't really know until I started listening to Free Talk Live.
That's right. Yeah, you've got to kind of know your rights and you have to exercise those rights. So it was kind of nice to have that validation that, oh yeah, they definitely don't want to take this to court. I mean, she didn't say that specifically.
Well, she said she likes it that way.
But that's what she meant. 603-283-6160. You can join us. Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. The number here is 603-283-6160. In the studio with you tonight, it's Ian.
Bonnie.
And Aria. 603-283-6160. And want to let you know that ForkFest 2021 is coming up in, I don't know, 4 months at this point. It's not going to be very, very long from now. 4.5 months.
Oh, yeah. Excellent point.
Yeah, it's coming up fast.
Something to look forward to. Finally, a vacation where I spend the entire time working.
June 28th through July 4th. Those are the dates. You're going to want to mark your calendar now for this. I'm excited about it. It's going to be year number 5 for ForkFest. And Aria, I think you've been to all of them, right?
I have been to every ForkFest, yes.
And you guys, I hear, are planning a bigger and better rock show.
We are. We are resuming practices this coming Sunday.
Excellent.
We have better equipment, and we're strongly considering renting out the pavilion in order to utilize that equipment.
I know Captain Kickass was saying he was putting together like a fancy remote road kit or something like that. He spent some good money on some, you know, like fancy mixers and things like that.
I mean, which was needed.
Live sound stuff.
I mean, the last show was like a proof of concept for the most part, I guess. But yeah, if we're going to actually play shows and stuff like that and actually like sound good, there's significantly more equipment that is needed, even now.
Yeah, you guys are loading up and getting ready to go for that. Now, it's up to you what you make out of ForkFest. So Aria wants to play a rock show. Cool. Somebody wants to do a poker table? Right on. That happened last year. The boys from AnyPay are going to put together an even bigger dome, from what I understand, or an even more
We're going to show
awesome...
up 1 year, and the entire campground is just going to be a giant dome.
That'd be awesome.
And then it'll be this town of Lancaster, just a giant dome, and eventually it'll just be a Simpsons episode.
So they're doing that this year, and I'm excited about that because they always throw some great parties in the dome. So
are they doing this for
back.
ForkFest or
both? Okay. They're going to be there at both the Porcupine Freedom Festival and ForkFest. So you want to join us? Come on out! It's June 28th through July 4th. You know there's not going to be anything to do this summer.
It's not looking like it.
They're not going to open up venues all of a sudden. There's not going to be all of a sudden a bunch of concerts.
And even if they do. I imagine the kind of people who are listening to the show aren't going to have their special little I've been vaccinated hall pass to attend these things in the first place.
To the Ticketmaster requiring a vaccine or their little health pass or whatever they call it.
I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm told that Rogers isn't even putting empty spaces between campsites this year.
I heard that rumor as well. It wouldn't surprise me.
Crosby's hardcore, man.
Crosby wants to make some money. He's about to die. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like, he's 85 or something
like
that.
But he's in good shape, man, and he tends those grounds amazingly for someone
his
age.
He really does. He really does. I think it has a lot to do with loving what you do and not, like, feeling like you're done with your life. I think that's why somebody like him is able to be the way he is, where he's literally active every single day on that campground, and he's 85 or older. I think he was 85 2 years ago. He may be pushing 90. at this point.
But to be out there on that tractor and that lawnmower.
He's going to die on that tractor is what's going to happen. And I love the guy. He's fantastic.
Yeah, he is.
And I appreciate the fact that he doesn't care about what the government says. He's willing to run his park the way he wants to. And that's why I think it's a perfect marriage. ForkFest, decentralized libertarian camping event at Rogers Campground. Book your RV site, your campsite, or your motel room now for June 28th through July 4th, and we will see you there. You can visit forkfest.party if you want to learn more about the event. Let's go to Anarcho-Republican calling from Montana. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, good evening, guys. I want to give you some tips on beating a ticket.
Okay.
One of the worst kind of tickets that, you know, it's all judgment is the so-called running a red light ticket. I'm not talking about somebody blows through a red light, doesn't care, is reckless. It's basically a judgment call, and you have to have if your front wheels, I believe, if they're just in the crosswalk, you're not really running the light. Well, I was going to work one morning, and I used to live in a city where lots of lights I went through, and finally this cop pulls me over, and he gives me a ticket for running a red light, and I was told, yeah, you can ask him, where were my front wheels? So I said, where were my front wheels? He says, I'll tell you in court.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he told me. So when I get to work, I look at the ticket, and it just said Gish Street. Well, I mean, no, it just said First Street.
Mm-hmm.
So First is a huge street. And I said, well, who knows how long he was behind me. When I noticed him, it was several lights back. So that was the argument I was going to make, because I'm not sure what he's saying, what he's accusing me of. So when I get into court...
Which of these red lights that I ran is he ticketing me for?
Right. So he's saying at some point you ran a red light on First Street, which has multiple
that's
red lights on
it. That's all it said. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay. All it said. So when I get into court, I bring it up to the judge, and I brought up what I said. I asked him to show me where my front wheels were. He told me he'd tell me in court. So now I'm asking him, where were they? Because I don't even know which street you're talking about. I don't even know how to defend myself in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the judge, he says, well, wait a minute. I have a copy of the ticket right in front of me. It says First and Gish. And I looked at my ticket. My ticket doesn't say that.
Oh,
see, when he went in, when I decided to fight this, he went back to the ticket and changed it.
That's Ooh. Not fair.
Wow, that sounds so illegal.
So they dismissed that one. So, yeah, watch your tickets so they don't get close. Another thing is a lot of times there's these, whenever you see a trap, and what I mean by a trap is you'll have three or four cops lined up in there. People are going across the street or they find some shortcut, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put up some signs, and all of a sudden you see people get pulled over, you know, one after the other, and they give them all tickets. Well, those are traps. And sometimes what happens is it's just that the signage is confusing. And one time they did that to me. They gave me a ticket. They gave everybody else a ticket for that. Then a week later they changed the signs. Then a week later they changed the signs again. Well, I took pictures of all the signs.
Hmm.
And when I went into court, they said, anybody who's challenged this, it's dismissed.
Wow.
But I thought about all those people who didn't challenge it. They all paid it.
99% of people who didn't challenge it.
So,
that's the thing.
If you got the goods on them,
it doesn't even matter if you win, see? Like, I think you're great for saying this, and I appreciate you sharing these stories. But what matters is whether you challenge it. Because if, as you pointed out, even 10% of people challenged these tickets, you know, it doesn't have to be everybody. It doesn't have to be a majority. If it were just 10%, 5%. Of people who challenged these tickets, speeding tickets, red light tickets, you know, whatever BS fundraising tickets we're talking about here, they'd have to drop them left and right. They don't have the prosecutors. They don't have the court time.
Well, you're talking about overwhelming the system.
That's exactly
choking
what I'm talking about. Yeah.
And it would be easy to do with just 10% of people.
10%, you wouldn't need a whole lot of people, just people.
Well, they count on compliance, like you were
That's
saying,
right.
with everything.
Yeah, and here's the other here's the other trick. But thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Here's the other trick, and I don't know what the rules are in Montana, as you mentioned, Aria. Here in New Hampshire, it's $150 a day credit towards any kind of fine that you get. You can just sit it off in jail, and
which isn't good because that's a taxpayer expense. Yeah. But you didn't ask to be there.
You don't have to do this though, because the trick is as long as you're willing to. They have no real control over you because usually people are so afraid of jail that they will do anything they can to avoid it. So as long as you're willing to go to jail.
Yeah, but jail for 3 or 4 days is nothing.
I agree with you. But here's what happens. If you get sentenced, if you're found guilty of red light camera or whatever, we don't have those here in New Hampshire, but if you're found guilty of speeding and it's a big speeding ticket, like $100+, you're going to have to spend a whole day in jail for this. As long as you say, I'm willing to go to jail, the judge will not The judge will do everything they can, besides like dancing a jig in front of the court to stop this. So
what would they do? Be like, would you rather do? Can you do community services instead? And I'll say no, because
no, they'll say no. And then I've seen somebody do that, and then the judge will say, "Well, I'm going to give you a month to think about it," and then they'll
reconvene. Well, you could just give me a day in jail to get
it
over with.
They don't want to see. They don't want to show that happening. They don't want to have someone going to jail over a speeding ticket. So they'll bend over backwards to let you do community service.
They're going to have to take me to jail for something stupid.
More coming up here in moments. 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live. Is spreading the message of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace around the globe worth $2 per month to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. And we've been available on satellite for free 24/7 since 2010. The LRN.FM free-to-air satellite signal is reaching some of the most oppressive regimes in the world, and there's no doubt our ideas are making an impact. You can learn more about the channel's impact by watching the 3-minute video at fund.lrn.fm. If you'd like to help free minds globally with our ideas of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace, you can donate as little as $2 per month via fund.lrn.fm. You can help us continue and expand our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. Visit fund.lrn.fm today, and thank you for your help. Don't forget to share the link on social media. That's fund.lrn.fm. It's Free Talk Live. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio with you tonight, it's Ian.
Bonnie.
And Aria.
So we were talking about challenging things in court. And Bonnie, you were saying you didn't even know you could challenge
tickets. I got a parking ticket last year in, well, maybe the beginning of 2020. And it upset me so bad because it was $70. In San Antonio,
God.
Because I was parked like, I tried to just park really quickly and go deliver an Uber Eats order because this lady didn't want to leave her stupid office building in the middle of San Antonio. So I saw like a place I thought I could park there really fast and tried to quickly go deliver it.
Not fast enough.
Well, I was like a little bit into the, like my front tires were on the crosswalk. So it was like a $70 parking ticket.
You know, it's one of those things that growing up, I had always heard, you know, always challenge your tickets and they'll just drop it. But it's all rumor and hearsay. But actually seeing it happen, you're like, okay, yeah, all of those people are right. Just challenge it and it will probably get dropped.
I never even heard that. I just immediately called my dad and I was like, I haven't even made $70 today doing Uber. And
damn,
I got a $70 ticket and he just paid it for me. But my dad is very like, they're just doing their job.
Their job
sucks. By harassing people who are trying to do their jobs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Their job is to threaten peaceful people. And this is the typical viewpoint, Bonnie, that your dad has. It's the typical viewpoint that we were confronted with a myriad of times doing what we called Robin Hooding here in downtown Keene, where most of a decade ago, there were many news headlines made by the libertarian activists here in Keene for saving people from getting parking tickets in downtown Keene.
Including a special on the Colbert Report.
That's right.
That was very humorous.
It was so funny.
If you have a sense of humor,
correct.
It's very funny.
Yeah, if you have no sense of humor, and then you will think that we are ruining the libertarian movement, which is what people actually said about what we did there. But the people who were in the city and the people who supported the city of Keene would say things like what your dad says. Oh, well, they're just doing their job, and you're harassing and threatening and intimidating our poor parking officers, which was total BS and straight-up lies. We weren't doing anything to threaten or intimidate these people. And
of course not, but neither were the people at the coast recently who did their First Amendment check and upset a bunch of bureaucrats. You know, they don't like anyone challenging them or putting them on camera.
No.
That was how you were harassing and intimidating her. Suddenly, she had to face public accountability, and she didn't know what to do, and made her uncomfortable.
They don't like that. Right.
So Tyrants don't.
They call it harassment, but the reality is it's not harassment because part of their job description, this was revealed in the court case because the city of Keene sued us.
And lost.
And ultimately lost at the Supreme Court of New Hampshire. But they sued us. They wanted damages. They, you know, demanded X, Y, and Z, and that we stop doing this, etc. And we stood up for ourselves. And thanks to attorney John Meyer, who helped us with this. And by the way, the video, the full trial videos are up on the Free Keen YouTube channel. So if you want to see this, you can. But it's right there in the job description of the parking enforcer. And that is that you must be willing to endure verbal diarrhea, basically, right? Like, people are going to say mean and nasty things to you in your job as parking enforcer. That is part of your job, to be able to endure that.
Well, yes, they're meter maids. Yeah. They're like the lowest of the law enforcement categories.
That's right.
No one respects them.
And people, well, you'd be surprised how many people actually like these meter
they
maids.
They may respect the state and the whole idea of this person is just doing their job, mm-hmm. but when they get a ticket, they have no respect for that person.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, you are just someone who walks around here writing people tickets because they didn't get out here 4 minutes soon enough. You're scum. Yeah.
Your job is to ruin people's day. That's what you do. You threaten people. You threaten peaceful people. There was one time where a single mom was trying to go to the library, and Graham Coulson, who was one of the Robin Hooders at the time, was on the scene when this was happening. The city called a tow truck on her and towed her car. As this woman was inside the library, this lady's a single mom, you know, she's trying to get to work, she's trying to take her kids to the library, that kind of thing, and they just don't care. They have no humanity for their fellow man, and it's, you know, it's ridiculous.
Well, remember the drunk guy who needed some water, and they just kept letting him puke out into the street? It's like, no, he's probably fine. If he needs water, he'll ask for water.
Protect and serve.
Where was this?
It was at that nightcap where the police pulled over the guy for not turning on his headlights. And for like 20 minutes, the passenger of the vehicle is so drunk that he pukes like four times over the course of this time. It's like, this dude's going to die if he doesn't get some water in him. And the cops are like, oh, he'll be fine. If he needs water, he'll ask for water. Yeah, dude, he's
can't even talk.
He's dying in the street over here. Please get him some water.
Yeah.
It's absurd, man. They don't care.
No. So the point is, challenge these tickets, whether it's a red light ticket that's issued automated by, you know, whatever company is doing red light tickets where you live, because we don't, thankfully, don't have that in New Hampshire, but a lot of places have that stuff, or whether it's a speeding ticket or whatever. You challenge these things, they're even less likely to take them to court now, because it's harder than hell to even get into a court if you want to get into court.
Good point.
They're not even having court cases. We had a guy show up on the front porch here the other day, an old friend of the show, Bud. He was in jail on some totally like trumped up charges that were brought against him by his own mother. And they were allegations of like sexual molestation of his own stepchild or something like that. Totally not untrue, but they arrested him and they put him in jail and he couldn't bail out. So he sat there for 10 months.
Jesus.
Due to COVID.
Quote unquote, due to COVID. They didn't schedule him a trial at that point. They hadn't yet scheduled his trial. He wanted to go to trial because he was innocent.
And I'm assuming at this point he hadn't even been in front of a judge to request a speedy trial.
I don't think so. You'd have to put a motion in for that. You don't have to be in front of a judge. But regardless, they hadn't scheduled a trial yet due to COVID. And they told him, hey, look, we'll give you a plea deal. Simple assault. You can take a plea to simple assault, which is a misdemeanor. So not that it won't be like a sex crime on your record. It'll just look like you hit a child.
Even though he's innocent.
Even though he's innocent. Or you can sit in jail until we feel like scheduling the trial due to COVID.
That's so unconstitutional.
He took the plea.
I mean, in that situation, how can you not? They're not even offering you a light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
They're not saying, oh, look, you can do 15 to 20 years, or you can take this plea deal and get out today.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, at least then you go, okay, 15 to 20 years, I'm not taking your plea deal. I'm going to take my chances in court. But to say, you might get a court date one day?
Yeah.
I mean, the precedent for this was set with Guantanamo Bay, when we're like, oh, well, one day there's going to be a time when American citizens aren't getting trials. We're at that time now.
We're at that now. Mm-hmm.
Just like, this is why I argued that, hey, these people at Guantanamo should be getting trials, and all the Republicans and Democrats are like, no, they're terrorists, and this will never happen to American citizens, and now we're literally in that position.
Yeah, not only that, but you're also in a position where there's no access, at least here in New Hampshire, I can't speak for the other 49 states, but there's no access to the government anymore.
No, they're hiding in their homes.
They're hiding in their homes, and they're having Zoom conferences. And so, you know, sorry, you don't have access to the internet. Well, you are completely disenfranchised from all government meetings.
It's basically secret Zoom meetings, too, because, like, Calvin didn't even know that the town hall was open. So how would he even know to go look at the poster to see what
where go register to vote or whatever. Yeah.
Well, that's where the Zoom RSVP email or whatever was posted, but like he didn't even know that the building was open.
And even if you do know, if you're not on their little email list, they're not letting
you're
you
out
in.
Of the loop. Yeah.
That's why they prefer Zoom over Jitsi. That was the reason that they wouldn't let us use better, superior software, because they couldn't control it like that.
Yeah, that's
one of
point.
Us would have been in control, and they couldn't have had that.
Oh, no.
Because things could have gone so much differently if the actual chair of the Keene Republican Committee had been allowed to lead the actual Keene Republican Committee meeting.
But the state house itself, to take it out of Keene, the state house itself is closed. They're having hearings, supposedly.
Aren't they doing this in their car with, like, radios
they
or something?
They did a car meeting with the state reps, and now they're actually having public, quote-unquote, public meetings for the 800 or so bills that they filed this year. They're having public hearings, but only over Zoom. So you can't physically go into the meetings like you used to. And it's just, again, you don't have the internet.
There's no legal basis for this.
You're out. You have no participation in the supposedly what is your government. It's ridiculous.
And this is in a state where we have a overwhelming number of representatives. So you would think that it would actually be a little bit more accountable than in some places,
no,
but
bad.
Of course not.
603-283-6160 allows you to join us here. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up. Talk Live, and the number here is 603-283-6160. Tonight, in the studio with you, it's Ian,
Bonnie,
and Aria.
And so don't forget to check out our website, freetalklive.com. We've got a Matrix chat server there. You can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners over at chat.freetalklive.com. That's actually the instructions page. It'll take you to a website that'll give you step-by-step instructions on how to actually get on the Matrix server. You do need to follow them carefully. It's not a simple, it's a simple process, but some people might find it difficult. But it seems like it's working. There's a lot of people in there, and they're there 24 hours a day. You joined it within the last few weeks.
I did.
You've been having fun, I think.
I ignore it most of the time, but that's because, you know, all they want to do is complain about me or you.
Well, I mean, they complain about all kinds of things.
Yeah. Except Mark. They love Mark.
They don't like each other, usually.
They don't.
But it's fun to watch sometimes, so check it out over at chat.freetalklive.com. As we continue here, let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. We're talking about fighting tickets, standing up for yourself in court and demanding your day in court, even for something as simple as a parking ticket, something most people just dismiss and cut a check for and call it a day. We say, you know what, just paying these thugs enables them. It encourages them. And so if they knew that people were less likely to pay and more likely to challenge and then ultimately refuse to pay on top of that, like if you get found guilty, just keep refusing to pay them. And then what are they going to do? Well, in New Hampshire, they'll throw you in jail. But first, they'd rather have you do community service. And we've actually got a nice setup here now to where if you get so, for instance, Joe from Breaking the Flaw, you mentioned him earlier, Bonnie, he got arrested for or got charged with something in some New Hampshire town, and nobody informed him that the Shire Free Church can certify community service hours.
Oh.
So we can actually give him community service hours for doing First Amendment audits. Isn't that sweet?
Oh, I love New Hampshire.
Yeah, we can do that here.
Is doing First Amendment audits what got him in trouble?
I think so.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that led to the ticket. I don't remember exactly what the ticket was for. But, you know, as long as you're serving the community by the, you know, determination of the Shire Free Church, and we have a nonprofit that's registered with the state of New Hampshire, you have to have one of those. Otherwise, you can't certify anything. But we've got that, and we've had one. We've had that for, you know, almost a decade. At this point, and we have certified other people's community service, so it's not like it's something we haven't done before. So these are some of the benefits of getting together with like-minded, freedom-loving activists, where you can actually.
So if you accept the, if I accepted community service instead of going to jail, I could, in theory, just give Bitcoin 101 presentations or something like that.
Yeah, I would absolutely certify that. Yep.
God, absolutely. New Hampshire is great, man. People need to get here.
Yeah, they really do. If you love liberty, at least. If you don't love liberty, then just stay right where you are. Meanwhile, we go to David in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live.
challenging tickets. Like, top this one until somebody calls in. I'm going to claim the record. So I flew by this manned speed van in Albuquerque one day years ago, mm-hmm. and I looked in my rearview mirror and I saw the strobe, the flash go off. And so I slammed on my brakes and stopped like 100, 200 yards in front of the van and walked back and made the cop stare at me walking towards him for that 100, 200 yards it took me to walk back to him. And I walked back there and to make sure that I could ID his face and get his name and number off of his chest and the number on the speed van. So I had positive ID, got back in my truck and drove immediately to City Hall to the mayor's office and sat down with an interview with the mayor's assistant and had every single ticket that speed van had ridden all day long dismissed, which was plus or minus of 1,000.
How the hell did you get every ticket dismissed?
Because I immediately recognized it as an unlawful application of the speed van. It was an unlawful positioning. And I called him on it, and the mayor's office researched it, agreed with me, and dismissed every single ticket that van had sent out or caught all day long.
That's so awesome.
Well, what was he doing that was unlawful?
But he placed his van, and he knew, and the look on his face made it clear that he knew exactly what the hell he was doing. He placed it on a freeway off-ramp, and it was a downhill off-ramp. And the speed limit on the freeway was 55, mm-hmm. but the flow of traffic was going 70, mm-hmm. and no cop was slowing it down. And the speed on the exit ramp was 45 on the downhill,
right.
And the speed limit sign was placed almost immediately after you mm-hmm. hit that exit. It was impossible to go from 70 to 45 mm-hmm. before that sign on the downhill, and that cop knew it, and I knew it. And I called them on it, and they eliminated, it was like 1,000 tickets.
Wow. How do you know for sure they did that?
Because I said, after this interview, you are going to be following up with me, mayor's assistant. I want to know exactly what was done regarding my report to you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's a pretty big claim. I mean, that's if you really did save 1,000 people from speeding tickets.
I'm shocked
kudos.
That they would be so bold as to do that. I thought it was just...
Are you?
Yeah. I mean,
why?
Cops are shady, but that's it is physically impossible to be going the speed limit on the interstate.
That's part of the scam. I mean, the odds that they're going to encounter a David are like, you know, zero and, you know, almost impossible. The odds that somebody like him is going to come along and actually stand up for everybody, almost never will something like that happen. 99% of the time, they're going to get... All but you know, one person is going to pay those tickets.
Bonnie?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to agree that most people wouldn't even know that they could do what David did.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of it.
I wouldn't have gone to the mayor's office, but I would have fought the ticket because...
You're right, me too.
Driving 70 down the interstate, even if the speed limit is 55, if you slow down to go 55, you're going to get someone killed. You're disrupting the flow of traffic. Mm-hmm. That's dangerous.
The funny thing is, I was already on my way to the mayor's office to complain about something else.
Nice. So it was convenient. You weren't going out of your way in that case.
No, it was very convenient, yeah.
What happens in New Mexico if you don't pay, if you get found guilty for speeding or some other ticketable offense? What happens if you don't pay it?
I'm sure you get a warrant.
Really? So they'll just, okay, but like here in New Hampshire, they'll throw you in jail for $150 a day off the fine. What do they do there?
If you don't pay and you don't go to court, what do they do?
No. If you go to court, get found guilty, and then refuse to pay the fine.
I'm sure that's a warrant as well.
But for what? What's the charge?
I'm sorry, if you go to court and you refuse to pay?
You get found guilty. You go to court, you try to fight the speeding ticket, you lose. Because you're going to lose most of the time. And they say... David, this is a $100 speeding ticket that you can pay at the window. And you're like, I'm not going to pay you.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a warrant.
For what?
Contempt of court.
Contempt. You got sentenced and you failed to comply by your sentencing.
Hmm.
No, because the sentencing is always this amount, this number of fines or this number of days in jail.
No, it's that way in New Hampshire. I don't know if it's that way in other states. Whenever I've asked someone this question outside of New Hampshire, they do not have the answer. They don't know.
Well, just from what I do know, having not had that exact scenario, but having had a whole bunch of other scenarios really close to that, I can't imagine that in the state of New Mexico that that's not a warrant.
Okay. David, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
In theory, a warrant wouldn't be necessary.
Well, you're standing right there.
Yeah, they don't have to find you. You're just like, I'm not going to pay this. I'd rather go to jail instead.
What are you going
to
do?
And I imagine in most places, that would infuriate the judge so much that he's going to slap you with like 90 days in jail or something like that.
I mean, is that contempt of court to say that you won't pay the fine? I guess
instead,
try
saying, I can't pay this fine, perhaps.
Yeah.
I can't pay this fine, and I'm not going to take on the financial burden of attempting to, maybe. In which case, they offer you community service instead, and you'd have to have some other excuse for why you can't do that.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to learn of that, because here in New Hampshire, it used to be $50 a day, and then the ACLU actually got a bill passed that tripled the amount from $50 a day to $150 a day.
Man, in Mississippi, it's like $25 a day.
Really?
Yeah. So even for a speeding ticket or something like that, you're looking at almost a week in jail.
All right, so check out Aria DeMezzo. You're going to post that video on your YouTube channel of what happened tonight when we started the show out, and your website, ariadeMezzo.com.
Yeah, but that's just a forward. You'd have to go to youtube.ariadeMezzo.com.
And that's where you'll see your YouTube channel, and you can follow her on Twitch, right? Are you still doing Twitch streams?
Twitch.ariadeMezzo.com. The video was live streamed to Twitch, so if you want to watch it right now, you don't want any editing done, you can just go watch it there.
Nice.
What was it you said you were going to title the video?
Satanic tranny anarchist lecture wearing a leash lectures old Republicans on their bad behavior or something like that. Because that's exactly what happened.
Out of time for tonight. Back tomorrow. You can join us between now and then online. In the meantime, over at freetalklive.com. Don't forget to check out our social media site over at social.freetalklive.com. You can interact with other listeners of the show and whoever else shows up. We're still waiting for Trump to show up and sign up for social.freetalklive.com. It's Free Talk Live. See you tomorrow.
Welcome to another exciting adventure of Jonathan Gullible.
As you may recall, we last left Jonathan Gullible on a remote Pacific island after his boat was blown far off course by a terrific storm.
Eager to learn about the inhabitants of this island,
Jonathan wandered the beach of this island until he came to an enormous green statue of a woman holding a torch high above her head.
Seeing a man nearby, he asked,
"Sir, what is the meaning of this grand monument?"
"This is called the Statue of Liberty. It is about freedom, that we are to be free of the encroachment of newcomers from around the world."
"There are a lot of people coming to your island?"
"Yes, indeed. We are a wealthy nation. We came to be wealthy by the sweat of all who came before us. But now we must keep all the poor and hungry newcomers of the world away from us."
"Why? Are those newcomers more lazy than the ones who came before?"
"Not at all. If given a choice, our enterprises would hire the newcomers before hiring our own folk. The newcomers are very eager to work, and to work hard, too hard."
"You mean you don't like the things that they produce?"
"We love what they produce. We invite them to send us all the things that they make so long as they stay far away."
"Are you afraid that the newcomers will take away your wealth?"
"Heavens no. Our own Council of Lords does that. We're always taxing our own citizens to send food to those people around the world. We build houses and roads for them, and more than half of our military budget is spent for their defense. We arm their generals, and we even are prepared to send our young people to go and fight their causes."
"So you will buy from those people in other lands. You will even feed them, defend them, and even send your young to die for them. But you will not welcome them?"
"Yes. It is much better that they stay where they are. If newcomers came here, like the newcomers of old, that would only lead to a great deal of change. There is only one thing we allow to change, and that is the meaning and purpose of our monuments."
Build freedom with laughter. Join the community. Access free media clips and more. Or get your free PDF copy of the book. Go to jonathangullible.com now. jonathangullible.com.
Ross Ulbricht is serving a double life sentence without parole for all nonviolent charges. He is a first-time offender, and no victims were named at trial. Ross is condemned to die in a cage because he made a website called Silk Road that allowed people to exchange what they chose using Bitcoin as long as no third party was harmed. Please help. Sign and share the petition at freeross.org to commute Ross's sentence and bring him home.
Attention gardeners, if you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow, even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.